Psalm 46. As we turn now to look at God's Word, the text that I'm going to look at is printed there in the bulletin, or you can follow along in your Bible. But we'll be looking at these first couple of verses of Psalm 46. I would imagine that more sermons have been preached on Psalm 46 the first couple of months of this year than any other text, and for good reason. It is a psalm that just exudes with confidence in who our God is. The last time I preached on this psalm was the Sunday following 9/11. It was so fitting to think about who our God is and the confidence and the faith that we can have in God. And so this morning, again, looking at these first three verses, and it's my intention to finish out the psalm in the next 2 weeks. But Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its dwelling. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing on his word. Father, we do turn to you in faith, and we long to hear you speak to us. We come with all kinds of thoughts and feelings. Our minds are preoccupied. We confess that this is such an odd time in which we are living, and yet we come to your word because we know that it's true. And we know that you are a God who cannot and does not lie. And so we expect, we anticipate for you to speak truth to us, and in doing this to reveal yourself to us. Work in us every good thing that you would have for your people this morning. Send your Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds and hearts and to energize our wills so that we would be the people you've called us to be. We pray this for the glory of Jesus Christ, and in his name, amen. We will not fear. Easier said than done. Fear expresses itself in so many different ways. For some of us, we just shut down. We become anxious, overwhelmed with a sense of impending doom, worried, overthinking everything, and unsettled with every new report that we hear coming from the media. But for some of us, our fears cause us to puff ourselves up and to poke fun at the fears of other people and to shame our neighbors because they're not as strong as we are. Our own fears get translated into acts of impatience, contempt, anger. I mean, there's no denying that there's a lot going on in our world right now, a lot that's bothering us. There's stuff going on in our world right now that is bothering all of us. And there's stuff going on inside of us that is eating away at us and bothering us. And what we need is what the Bible presents for us this morning: refuge and strength. And both of these are to be found in God alone. This morning, I want to challenge you to remember all that God is. And standing back for just a moment and looking at verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is. We are not atheists. We are not those who try to live a lie and pretend that God is not there. God is real. He is there. He is there, and he is not silent. And you and I believe what God says about himself and that we find in the Bible. that he is our God and Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, even as we have confessed this morning, that he is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable as a pure spirit in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, one God in three persons, a blessed Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the sovereign King and Judge of all the earth. God is, and because God is spirit, that is, he's not tied down to anything here that's material or earthly, he is the most real thing that there could be. God is a divine person full of goodness, mercy, and love. God is our refuge and strength. We are not defenseless. We are not left in this world to make it on our own. God created us to live in him and to depend upon him for all that we need. And so he is both our refuge and our strength. A refuge, a safe place, a fort, a fortress, a castle, a rock. Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my Savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. We need a place of safety. We need a refuge to defend us against all the attacks that come against us in this world. But he's also our strength. It's not just the attacks that come to us from outside, but it's the problems that are inside of us. We need one who is working from the inside to hold us up and to keep us going. And God is both our refuge and our strength. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. We are not deist. Deism is a false philosophy that says that God is there, but that God's not really interested in what goes on in our lives. He's not interested in what you and I are doing down here on earth. God is not directly involved in his creation. He created everything, but now he has taken a step back and he's sometimes watching, sometimes not. But he's basically left us to our own free will and to what we can make of ourselves in life. God's not going to interfere for good or for ill. You've heard it said, God helps those who help themselves. That is, God doesn't really do anything. It's up to you. God is only going to help those who pretend that he's there, and you help yourself. It's up to you to get yourself in this world out of trouble. But we're not deists. We are Christians. And the Bible says on every page that God is a very present help in time of trouble. He is with us every step of the way. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is a very present help in times of trouble. We are not hopeless. Everything being said in this psalm, and indeed all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, is that God is for us. He's on our side. He wants us to win. He's for us, even when we make a big mess of things. You know, God doesn't run away when we find ourselves facing some trouble. God doesn't walk away when we get ourselves in some kind of big trouble. I mean, right from the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, God did not leave Adam and Eve naked and exposed and left to die in their sin. God came after them. God came calling their names. God came to cover their sin and their shame and to give them a gracious promise of life. You go to the other end of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Against that whole backdrop of darkness and the threats of a fallen world, what do you see? You see Jesus walking among the candlestands, the churches that are there, calling us to repent and promising that we will overcome. Friends, we are not hopeless. God is with us and God is for us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help even when we are in big trouble. And he's proved this once and for all by stepping down here and becoming one of us. I mean, that's a huge pledge that he is interested in us, is that he would send his own Son to be like us in every way. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to come down here and live as one of us, to be with us and for us in this life, in his own perfect life, in his death and in his resurrection. And then God gave him this name, Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. This is who God is. And this is my challenge to you today, is to believe in this God through his Son, Jesus Christ. To receive and rest upon him alone for all that you need in life. For salvation from sin and from death, yes, but also for the strength that you need to live through this very difficult season of life. Embrace all that God is for you: refuge, strength, a very present help. But I also want to challenge you this morning to respond to this revelation in the way that we find expressed here in this psalm. One basic response, one fundamental attitude to pick up and take with you this morning: therefore, we will not fear. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. No matter what, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. 5 times in this psalm we hear the word earth. Now there's an obvious reason for that. It's where we live, right? I mean, earth is the place where we live. This is where we have to live. This is where you and I live. In Christ, we are citizens of heaven. And yet, right now, this is where we have to live. We have to live on earth. Earth is where you and I live by faith. Earth is where we find the sea roaring and foaming and acting all crazy and chaotic. Earth is where we see the most solid and stable things we know of starting to slip and to slide into the heart of the sea. The sea. All that threatens us as people today is being depicted by the sea. To the Israelite, the sea was a pandemic, a universal threat to life. Now, you and I have to try to get this into our head, because we're talking about a different world. We're talking about the Old Testament world, not the world that is today. For many of us, people are on the verge of rioting because they can't get to the sea. They're filing lawsuits. Folly Beach, Kiowa, Sullivan's Island, Isle of Palms. You know, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and everybody wants to go to the beach and play in the sea. For us, it's a fun place. not for the Israelite. And this Old Testament world is so different from the New Testament world, with its Roman and Greek culture and the Roman means of transportation and being able to travel easily. You know, Luke and Paul didn't think twice about jumping into a boat and sailing off to Athens or some other city, to Rome, to go out on the sea. They didn't think anything of it. But you don't find this attitude in the Old Testament. For the Israelites, the sea represents everything that's unstable and chaotic and a threat to life. The sea is deep and mysterious. It's vast and powerful. There are waves out there that you can't control. You can't tame them. People who go to sea don't come back. They get lost. The sea is a fearful thing, and it's a threat. You know, you don't read about Abraham and David and Jeremiah jumping in a boat and going somewhere. Noah did. But you read that story and you understand why Noah was forced to do something that was so contrary to his nature. Jonah did. We all know how that story ended up. And that's what makes these two stories stand out, is that something terrible was going on in their world that forced them to face their fear of the sea and to engage their faith, their lack of faith, but to engage the fear that was presented to them. The general worldview of the Israelite is that the sea is just way too dangerous. It represents everything that's unstable and chaotic and a threat to life. Mountains, on the other hand, strong, stable, dependable. It's always going to be there, right? Unmovable, trustworthy. You think about, again, the story of Noah's Ark. As the chaotic sea subsided, where did Noah end up? On top of a mountain. There's a sermon in that all by itself, right? And so with all of that in mind, hear again what the psalmist says, verses 2 and 3. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Now, isn't that a description of our world today? The sea. A pandemic. Unstable, unpredictable, the great unknown, it's dangerous. Where did this virus come from? How did it get here? How did it get to the United States? Why can't anybody stop it? You know, am I going to get it? Is it going to come back? And then everything you thought that was stable and solid and secure is just slipping and sliding into the sea. I mean, you think of those who are usually, should be respected in our culture, doctors, scientists, researchers, politicians, the federal and state governments, the White House, CDC, the World Health Organization. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody. And that just adds to the fears, because you see that things are slipping into the sea and just getting all muddled and lost. Nobody knows what to tell you. They'll tell you one thing one week and then tell you the exact opposite a week later. That just doesn't build up a whole lot of confidence. But what it does tell you is that, you know, don't put your hope in man, because nobody knows the answer to the problems here. And somebody comes along and says, well, I know the answer. That's the very person you should not trust. You know, we don't need that kind of pride injected into this discussion. You know, nobody knows what's going on. No one knows how to handle it. Nobody knows for sure what you're supposed to do. Do I wear a mask or not? Will it help or will it make things worse? And everybody on Facebook all of a sudden seems to be an expert on the science of mask wearing. You know, is it good or is it bad? And you know things are bad when CNN hires Greta Thunberg to serve on a panel of experts to give us advice on the pandemic. I mean, that is a picture of everything slipping into the sea. Everything's stable. People are going to look to her, this little girl from Sweden, to tell us how to solve the whole world's problems about this pandemic. Think about the economy. You know, our country's going to be ruined. People need to get back to work, but then people are too afraid to go to work. They're too afraid to go out and shop. They're tired of staying at home. Resent anybody telling them that they can't go out. Everybody has lost patience, feeling frustrated and angry. This is the very place where you and I need to exercise our faith. Here on earth, in this chaotic world with mountains slipping into the heart of the sea, this is where we need to exercise our faith in all that God is. In the unpredictable world of nature and natural disasters. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. What else is it? A week from tomorrow, anybody know? The start of hurricane season. Right? June 1st. It's going to last all the way to the end of November. Now, we're not to throw caution to the wind, and I didn't intend that as a pun, but we're not to throw caution to the wind, but rather than sit in fear over whether this is going to be an above-average active storm year or not, why not go back to Psalm 46 and verse 1? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We need to exercise our faith in a world of national unrest, and not to be political, but just think of the hatred for our president. The vicious and relentless attacks by the media, those who are constantly stirring the pot, the absolute confusion over what's going on with this election year. Instead of stressing out about all of that in our nation and, you know, how are we ever going to survive that? Why not go back to verse 1? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In the world of international unrest, Russian collusion, Iraq, Iran, North Korea, China, the EU coming apart in ways so that you can't even travel as we once did. Don't just watch the evening news and let all of that get you all worked up about what's going on in our world. Turn it off. Go back to verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then I think of my own private, personal world, where I often find a lot of unrest. And I know that you do too. My own family, my children, my friends, my neighbors, the loss of a loved one in our church, struggles with my own calling and job, my own mental health, trying to deal with all of this stress and isolation. My own fears and frustrations and lack of patience. You know something of all of this. Friends, do not try to tackle any of this on your own. Go back to verse 1. Go back and read it, hear it, believe it, rest in it, be still, and know that this is your God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. and then follow through with the implication. Therefore, we will not fear. Let's pray. Father, we simply pray and ask that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that in this new week before us, we would be able to walk in a manner that is worthy of you, that we would fully please you, that you would enable us to bear fruit in every good work, and that we would increase and grow in the knowledge of who you are. We ask that you would strengthen us with all power, according to your glorious might, for all endurance and patience, to do all of this with joy, giving thanks to you, our Father in heaven, such a good and gracious Father. Work in us the life and the power and the message of your word from Psalm 46. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.